Good morning. So the verse, go and make disciples of all nations. I wonder how Jesus delivered this line. I reckon it was something more instructive, a bit more urgent. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Teach them everything I've commanded you to. What did he teach us? He taught us to love God and to love people. That's the Lord condensed for you into two simple statements. This week we're continuing on our series of sharing our faith, and this week I'm going to focus on how we can make this a lifestyle. Sharing our faith isn't often the big and wonderful every now and again, it's the humble everyday lifestyle. So I'm going to draw on three main points based on the Great Commission. From the first word, go. Firstly, we go in obedience of God's command. Secondly, we go from overflow of our own love for God within us. And thirdly, we go with the Holy Spirit. So why do we share our faith? Well, the world needs the gospel. As we see in Romans 10, this good news is not going to share itself. How can the non-believers believe unless the word of God is preached? Well, the dull answer is they won't. We go in obedience. Sharing the love of God is simply being obedient to his word, as we would with any other commandment. We must be open, willing, and follow God's lead. Perhaps pray every morning that you might find one person or one opportunity to share your faith with them. It's not a massive ordeal. It's a privilege to bring in Jesus to our conversations. Evangelism is rarely the Billy Graham stereotype. For me, it happens largely on a conversational level. We can just speak to people, try and live a Christ-like life, and people will ask us why we live this way. And we will be surprised by the opportunities that are presented. In fact, maybe go one step further and pray that the only way out of a conversation is to talk about Jesus. If you are a Christian, sharing your faith is an obligation. We're not embarrassed of our faith. Evangelism, it's got lots of syllables, but it's not a scary word. It doesn't need to be. It's just sharing the good news, as we would with any other kind of good news. For me, some good news that's happened recently, I've fought off this injury in my arms, and I'm playing drums again after a whole year of sitting on the sidelines. So it's great news, and I'm sharing that with my friends. Or for maybe for one of you, what if you found out your children was getting married? Or for Melvin, what would you do if you found out Crystal Palace won the Premier League? I'm just joking. That'll never happen. Or what if you found the cure to cancer? You'd want to share that, right? But if you flip that, what if you found the cure to cancer, but you didn't share it, and people found out that you didn't share it? You see, God's graciously given us, the cure to death, the way to eternal life, so we have to share that. We are called to share this with everyone we meet. Who is we? Who does Jesus address in the Great Commission? He's talking to his followers, his disciples. There are no exceptions to this rule. Joe, are you a follower of Jesus? Great, go and make disciples of all nations. Carl, you a follower of Jesus? Great, go and make disciples of all nations. Turn to your neighbour and say, make disciples of all nations. Good stuff. Jesus had no exceptions on this. He's talking to us. You all came to faith in Jesus. Your life was saved at some point because someone told you about Jesus, or he told you himself. For those people that you know that don't know Jesus, you're exactly the right person to talk to them. As Carl said last week, God has tailor-made you to share his love with your friends. I don't know your friends. You know what they need. Most importantly, God knows what they need. There is an importance to our conversations and our lifestyle. If we do not share God's love with them, our fear or embarrassment or shame costs lives. The lives of our friends, family friends, neighbours. And Jesus taught us a parable. There will be a line of sheep and goats. The sheep will be on this side, and the goats will be on this side. The sheep will inherit eternal life, and the goats will suffer eternal hell. And hell's real, guys. It's in here. It's a sad place. The thought of any of my friends going there, I can't bear it. But what if one of them in the goat line looked at us in the sheep line and said, why didn't you tell me? Why were you so embarrassed? This stuff's real. At that point, it's too late for them. An eternity is a long time, immeasurably long time. Do you see the importance of Jesus' words? This is an obligation, a commandment, and a commission to go. It isn't our responsibility to save everyone on earth, though. We can't do that anyway. Only Jesus can save them. By sharing the gospel, we simply sow seeds and pray that they will grow. Many of you may be thinking, okay, but don't know what to say. How do I get into one of these conversations? How do I start a conversation like this? Best answer is, it comes naturally, because sharing the love of God is simply an overflow of our own love of God himself. It's less about what we say, but more about how we live. The love of God overflows in our lives. As I said earlier, Jesus condenses the entire Old Testament law for us into two statements: love God and love people. We can't love God if we don't love his people. And we can't love his people unless we first have the inspiration of God's love for us. By loving God, we exhibit a lifestyle that is countercultural and distinctively noticeable to non-Christians. We're attractive to people because we're living like Jesus. It's a hard ask, but he gave us a useful instruction manual. It's the true word of God. We know what we're sharing is true. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we're worshiping this morning. So keep to what that book says. Don't worry about what you say. Because of how you live, your life will do the talking. This is why living like Christ is so important, particularly in terms of attitude. Keep yourselves away from using bad language and swearing. Avoid drunkenness. Avoid gossip. Talk positively of people. Don't talk negatively of people. Go the extra mile to be kind, even when your waiter's dropped your food on the floor or the shop assistant's taking ages to get your clothes. People will notice that you're living differently. They'll notice, oh, you've got such good confidence. You've got such good courage. You always talk people up. You never talk anyone down. People want to see authenticity, that your love for Jesus makes a difference in your lifestyle. And when they ask why you live differently, in the words of 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you why you have such hope. So what is our answer? I don't know. It's up to you. You know your friends better than I do. But it's a conversation, not a grilling. If you get the chance, maybe explain how you became a Christian or a favorite Bible verse. Just be real with them. We're not recruiting, we're discipling. As I said earlier, pray each day for a new opportunity to share your faith. That doesn't mean sit around and wait for something to happen, but maybe God might give you a nudge during a particular conversation, a new topic of conversation where you can bring in God, bring in your own experiences. The other day I was at work and we had a quiet hour, and so I was talking about politics with my workmate. My view on politics is largely faith-related, and after one of my statements she said, "You're quite religious though, I guess. It's probably going to make a difference on your political views. Have you always been a Christian?" I thought, brilliant. Perfect opportunity to share my faith, share my testimony. So I did. I said, yeah, I've always been brought up in a church, and God became real for me eventually. But she seemed very particular and very convinced on this idea of religion, very fixated on it. I wanted to stress to her that Jesus is completely different to religions that she might have studied in textbooks, in RE classes. That religion of rules and regulations, a list that you have to abide by. But I wanted to tell her that Jesus wants a loving relationship with her than mindless religion. And I pray that she hears this, and that seed will be sown in the conversation, and that will germinate, and God will water it. But what if someone asks us something a bit more hard, a bit more personal, something we may not know the answer to? Which brings me to my next point, the most important. We need the Holy Spirit. Go with the Spirit that God gave us. As Luke 12:11 says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you will say. He tells us what we need to say. These words will come naturally. I mean, sometimes we genuinely don't know the answer, and that is totally fine. Be honest. Integrity is attractive. What is more important is the person that you are talking to sees your passion for Jesus and is left wanting to know more, rather than knowing the whole Bible off by heart, which most of us probably don't. Remember, in that situation, if God has put you there, He has tailor-made you to talk to that person about God, about him. One inference I've made from reading the New Testament is the difference the Holy Spirit makes to the disciples. Before he came, they didn't seem to understand much, constantly asking seemingly silly questions. They seemed a little immature, perhaps, which I'll give them slack for a bunch of fishermen with the responsibility of creating and sustaining the entire early church. It was a massive step up, but they did step up. The Holy Spirit came. At Pentecost, everything changed. They had supernatural confidence. They were preaching and teaching with utmost confidence in the face of death. At one time, they left the courts having been beaten and punished for preaching the Lord's name. And they didn't leave weeping. They left praising and smiling and rejoicing that they had even been counted worthy of suffering for God's name. I mean, wow. That is some supernatural confidence, and it is challenging. They had this confidence because God poured his Spirit out upon them. And you can have that same confidence and power. We're going to be anointing you all with oil after this sermon. And I really encourage you to come forward. The curtain has been torn in two. God's Spirit is poured out for all of us. If you want prayer for something more specific, feel free to talk to one of our prayer ministry team or myself. We'd all be thrilled to pray for you. The Holy Spirit gives us this courage, confidence, freedom, joy, gifts, and so much more. They're all imperative, I might add, to becoming a great witness for Jesus. So in summary, sharing our faith is to be obedient to Jesus' command. Evangelism is simply an overflow of our own love for God. If you feel scared and don't know what to say, allow your life to do the talking, and when prompted, speak the words that God puts in your mouth. It will come naturally. And be filled with the Holy Spirit for boldness to share God's love. And so therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that Jesus has commanded us. And surely he is with us till the very end of the age. Amen.